Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And we're joined right now by our good friend Terry Hummus with Kern Technologies and Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. We're going to talk about Central Wisconsin Gift of Life Night at the ballpark coming up tomorrow during the Rafters doubleheader. Terry, good morning.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Great. Glad to be here.
It's always good to have you in studio with us and good to see you, Terry. It's been too long. Thanks a lot for being here today. Terry, if you don't mind, before we get into the details of the event, I'd love to remind the audience and those that new listeners out there possibly about what Central Wisconsin Gift of Life is. And the work that you all do over there.
So Central Wisconsin Gift of Life, it is an organization that promotes and educates about organ and tissue donation, either being a living donor or after a person has passed, making the difficult decision.
Mm-hmm.
We have made many strides in Wisconsin being one of the leaders in the United States of organ being signed up for organ donation. Recently, with our scavenger hunt, we've had 9 scavenger hunts so far this year.
Oh, I didn't realize it was 9 of them. Wow.
Nice. Yes. Wow. Our total donations that have been given out has been over $100,000.
Wow.
So in just that short time.
Yeah.
You know, you think 9 years, it's not really that long.
Mm.
A bulk of our donations go to the Restoring Hope Transplant House, which is located in Middleton, and the University of Wisconsin Organ and Tissue Donation to help with their just spreading the word. This year alone, $25,000 alone was given, $12,000 to the Restoring Hope Transplant House, $12,000 to the Organ and Tissue Donation at UW. A donation was made to Brody's Flowers, which is an organization where a young gentleman who had lost his life would take flowers to nursing homes on Mother's Day.
Wow.
And then a donation was made to Emily Lyons, golf outing, which is kind of the same situation where daughter was had lost her life. Their family had started this organization to keep her memory alive.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Terry. I appreciate all that information. Appreciate the work that you guys are doing so much. And man, you guys are doing some work over there. That is really impressive. The stats that you just gave us there.
It is. I think it also is impressive. It is also very near and dear to a lot of people's hearts.
Yeah, yeah. I've made sure that on every idea I've ever had that I am an organ donor. Years back, gave up my funny bone. And the audience knows this. You know this, Terry. Melissa knows this because I'm just not fun. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make you smile. Just trying to make you laugh. We appreciate greatly this work and in part promoting this. I think like myself and my mother, my dad, a lot of people growing up, we have been affected by organ donation and it meant a lot to our family. We had at least 2 family members that I can think of that are still here because of this that are no longer here anymore, but were for a long time. But I would like to think that it doesn't take any of these connections for you to care about something like this. This is one of those universal causes to me that touches everybody's life, even if it doesn't technically affect you. You are a part of this. It's one of the most fascinating things in the world to me that we've normalized, that a stranger can help a stranger so much. And we know this with donating blood, and we talk about it there. But organ donation is still one of those things that I don't feel like we've normalized when there's nothing normal about it. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's awesome that we can do this.
And you hit on a key point that you do not need to know the individual. You do not need to be a blood relative to someone to give them your kidney or part of your liver or bone marrow. You know, it's all by match. You could maybe intend to give your kidney to Melissa, but it may not be a match, but it may be a match to give it to me if I were in need of a kidney. And you never know when you may run into this situation.
We do these good stories of the day to wrap up our show, and every other couple months or whatever, we have a story that involves usually a donation, somebody giving a kidney to a former math teacher, giving a kidney to a student, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So many of them pop into my head right now. Throughout the whole world, this is one of those things that brings people together, and I love any story that involves strangers helping strangers. It's part of what makes the human race the most amazing thing in the universe to me.
Exactly.
We have a great night coming up at the ballpark. Let's tell people about this, Terry. It's going to be a fun one. You guys, Central Wisconsin Gift of Life, are going to be at the ballpark tomorrow night.
So we're going to be at the ballpark tomorrow night. It's a doubleheader, so we'll be there in the evening. One thing that's going to make this unique, it's also Bark in the Park night.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of activity going on. Mm-hmm. Central Wisconsin Gift of Life is selling tickets for $20, and what's included in that ticket is a ticket, reserve seating ticket, rafters hat, so you can update your rafter wear, a hot dog, and a fountain drink, all for $20.
Nice.
Are you sure? Are you sure you want to do this, Terry? That's a really good deal.
It's a good deal.
Really, really good deal right there. Randy, my co-host in Playmakers, we were talking about this yesterday, and Randy right away, like, I don't think he meant to say it on the air. He's like, you can't even get a hat for $20. It's a really, really good deal. That's really cool. And while you guys are awesome over there, doing this for being able to take the funds from this and help keep doing the great work that you're doing. Correct, Terry?
Right. This is our third year working with the rafters on this. It's been a great fundraiser for us. It's a good way to get the word out. You know, the ballpark is usually always full, so it's a good opportunity for the Gift of Life to talk about what their cause is.
Terry, if people want to be a part of this, purchase these tickets in particular, can they do this at the ballpark? Do we have to send them to a certain website?
So you can go through the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life Facebook page. Just type in Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. Mm-hmm. It will pop up. Or through the rafters. They have a special promo.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's CWGOL.
Yes, that's what I got here. Yeah, so CWGOL, you type it in there. And basically, have in your head the abbreviation for Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. And you could be able to type that in there, get that discount, get yourself that great reserve ticket, that hat, and that hot dog and drink, which you can't watch a baseball game without a hot dog and a drink. You
have to do it. It's a great
exactly.
deal.
Exactly.
Terry, I also want to mention, if people want to be a part of things with the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life, maybe they'd like to help, maybe they'd like to volunteer, any of the above. How can they find out more? How can they be a part of things?
So the easiest way would be reach out through our Facebook page. We also have a web page, Central Wisconsin Gift of Life, and there's always someone manning that. We have a lot of things going on all year round. You know, we have the Legacy Garden down on First Street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, yeah, First Street, which is something that was developed in 2020. We're always adding to it, in which if you would like to purchase a stone in memory of someone, we have plenty of room to add stones. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful remembrance spot.
Yeah, I love looking at it whenever I get a chance, whenever I'm over there. I encourage people to be a part of that. And all the other events that you have going on throughout the year, follow along on those. Follow their Facebook page. It's a great way to keep up on everything with the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. And be listening to this station, because we'll be bringing Terry back as much as possible. We love her on the air with us. So any chance you get, Terry, to get some free time, you want to join us on the air here, please do.
I certainly will. We have to look forward to our scavenger hunt, which is next April. We'll start planning in the next month or so. It will always be in April. April is organ donation month, so that is why it will be usually in April. We can't depend on the weather. Sometimes it's really nice, sometimes it's not so nice, but everybody has a lot of fun.
We got to get a team together this year. We got to get a WFHR team.
I am
together.
Going to hold you to that.
Yeah, please do. Please do. And we, again, encourage you to learn more about organ donation and the Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. Find out more by going to their Facebook page and meet us at Winter Field tomorrow night for Bark in the Park and for Central Wisconsin Gift of Life at the ballpark. It's going to be a really fun doubleheader.
Yes, it will be.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Terry. I really appreciate the time. Say hi to your team and everybody over there, and keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll be back with more WFHR Morning Show in just a moment.
Hello, you fool.
Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. One of those 90s bands. Roxette is definitely one of those. Like, you know it's the 90s if you hear Roxette.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get into some entertainment news, but again, a real quick big shout out to Terry Hummus and our friends over at Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. Really do appreciate them joining us on the air here and all they're doing for our communities.
For sure, and make sure you come down to the ballpark tomorrow night for both great events.
Mm-hmm. So, diving into entertainment news, and let me real quickly just stretch my back out before I name drop real quick here. All right. my former co-star, Robert Downey Jr. No. I can't do it. Robert Downey Jr. named the two most important movies he's made in the past 25 years, and they are not what you would expect. I will take phone calls 424-2600. You can go ahead and name me as many Robert Downey Jr. movies as you want in the that he's released in the last 25 years, and you are not going to guess these, everybody. Let's go ahead and give this a good 5-10 seconds, 424-2600, because I'm genuinely curious if anybody could actually get even one of these that he mentioned. I didn't. I tested myself beforehand, and I've seen everything the man's done. He's one of my favorite actors, one of those people I look up to, and greatly, greatly appreciated the couple of moments he took to talk to me on set. It's part of the reason I'm doing this job. It's part of the reason I'm still here and those things. He meant a lot to me. He means a lot to me. So I thought for sure I'd be 2 for 2 on this. I was 0 for 2. I did not get either of these.
Well, which were the two you would have guessed?
I would have thought Iron Man would have been one of them, and Sherlock would have been the next. And in part, Iron Man was kind of his full circle moment of comeback story. Before that, the last you really heard of Robert. Now, actually, I changed that. I would say Iron Man and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Iron Man, he does this movie, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, with Val Kilmer, and it gained a lot of credit in the industry. A lot of people liked it. A lot of people thought, wow, Robert Downey Jr. is really straightened out. He's really gotten his act together and everything, and he's become the actor that everybody always thought he would be. That movie really got him Iron Man and got him Sherlock and everything so on. But you don't have the Marvel Universe as it is today without Iron Man, like, period. It started the whole thing, and his investment company really believed in this and put the money behind it, along with Stan Lee, and where we are today with this. But those are not the movies he mentioned. The two movies he mentioned are...
Hold on. I want to guess.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm going to guess... let's see. I'm looking at his list here. I'm going to guess The Soloist.
Ooh.
And where did it go? Heart and Soul.
Oh, wow. Oh. Heart and Soul is a fun movie. And Soloist is a very good performance by him. And I believe Jamie Foxx, I think. That's a good one.
Honorable mention, the Lego movie, just because I love it.
Yes, nicely done. we both went 0 for 2, though, Melissa. Because
dang.
The Shaggy Dog from 2006 and
really?
Doolittle from 2020.
Oh, the animal ones. Okay.
Neither of these movies did very well in the box office, but The Shaggy Dog was huge for him because it was, quote, the film that got Disney saying they would insure me, which is quite literally a huge thing for actors in the game. And this is something we never get a chance to talk about, but every actor is insured. Say I get a role, I'm doing great, we get through half of the filming process, and one morning I wake up and decide to shave my head. Or I horribly get into a car accident or something like that. Like, a billion things can happen. They have insurance policies in place to cut their losses, to help them out and everything with this. And a lot of times, it's also something producers use and studio companies use to basically, I don't like using the S word if it's not apt. So basically own somebody and own them for that couple of months or whatever. And I'm not kidding, the way that they treat actors with this. It's really quite old school and quite kind of like archaic. So Disney realizes they can insure him from the shaggy dog, and then Downey was on the comeback trail from his drug and alcohol issues, so getting Disney trust was huge. If Disney trusts him, every other studio company was like, well, if Disney could do it, we can do it. As for Doolittle, pretty much everything about it was a fiasco, but it was a learning experience for him and his wife, Susan. Quote, what's the phrase, never let a good crisis go to waste?
Learn from your mistakes.
We had this reset of priorities and made some changes in who our closest business advisors were. As great as Robert Downey Jr. is, his wife is five times the human being. She is phenomenal. She has stood by him throughout the ups and downs. It was her, I believe, her idea to start a production company, which of course led to Iron Man and Sherlock and the Perry Mason show on HBO and so many other big projects they have coming up. He's going into the DC universe too now. He's not just conquered Marvel, he's going to conquer DC as well with him and his wife and him. I think she's just as noteworthy as he is. If you ever get a chance to read up on her, she's an amazing human being. Kind of a cool story.
And her name is Susan Downey, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Quite an amazing story, yeah. Yeah, I believe I mentioned his wife, Susan, I thought I said. If I didn't, I apologize.
That's okay. I just had to look it up because I wasn't sure.
Deadpool 3 is delivering big time on fan service for people who love the comic book version of Wolverine and Deadpool and all these things. A new set photo released yesterday shows Hugh Jackman in the classic yellow and blue spandex. It's not clear how much time he spends in it or anything, but I know I freaked out as soon as I saw it.
Like Hugh Jackman in spandex? Gotta see this.
Any 90s, 80s kid who grew up watching the old X-Men cartoons, he's in that outfit. He's in the Wolverine outfit from those comics, man. He's awesome. So cool. And I don't know if this has gotten made the rounds yet or not, but Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, very good friends. They go back a long, long ways. And they're sitting back and they're talking, and Ryan's working on Deadpool 3. And he's kind of joking with Hugh Jackman, you know what would really make this if we brought Logan back, if we brought Wolverine back. For those that don't know, they kind of, you know, spoiler alert, yeah, the movie came out like 5-7 years ago or whatever, but they they kind of killed off Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, and he retired from the role. And by retired, I mean he's kind of gone a different direction with a lot of parts. He's not in the shape that he used to be. He's kind of like laxed his workout regimen and all this.
So Ryan, in other words, he's enjoying life.
Yes, exactly. He's eating foods he loves. Yes. Ryan is saying this to him, and Hugh Jackman is talking about it with him, and they get going, and finally he's like, you know, this is a fantastic idea. You're right, man. I think we should bring him back. And so they go to the production company, the two of them, to sell this idea, and it took them hours to convince them to do this. This almost doesn't happen. But two old friends decide they want to do this, and they just happen to be Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, who are playing two of the bigger superhero characters in the world. And now, now it's being made. Now it's actually going to happen. It is so cool. It's awesome. I don't care if this movie is horrible. I will be at the theater. I will see it. I may see it twice. I don't know. I'm just excited about them bringing these characters together and the fun that can happen with that. Thousands of people are seeing Barbie and Oppenheimer on the same day. We were kind of talking about this yesterday a little bit, the three of us, you, Seth, and I, about the idea of big blockbusters coming out on the same day in the history of that, and that there is some precedent that it can actually work.
Well, because they both have such a great cast.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned this yesterday, both very different movies as well. So you're going to get, you know, people that want maybe a more laid back, easier movie. Barbie has some reality to it, but obviously not going to be the emotional tour de force that Oppenheimer is going to be.
Right.
The media is really invested in the box office battle between Barbie and Oppenheimer, which both open on July 21st. Even though they don't seem like they'd have any audience crossover or necessarily any, like, fighting for, oh, honey, what do we go see, Oppenheimer or Barbie? You know, I don't feel like there's a ton of couples that are going to be fighting between that. But maybe that's not the case. AMC Theaters says that around 20,000 people who belong to their Stubbs Rewards program have already bought tickets to see both movies on the same day.
Well, and it's handy if they have set it up for them, you know, play-wise, because I think Oppenheimer's like 3 hours long, isn't it?
Yeah.
If they set it up in a way that you can see one, have a break, maybe like go get food or something, and then see the other one.
I got to think that AMC is pretty good at what they do. I got to think that you're right about this. They probably did something similar to that, especially after seeing how many people are trying to do this. Mm-hmm. The company calls it, quote, a great sign that the growing online conversation around seeing both of these incredible films is turning into ticket sales.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy stars as Robert Oppenheimer, supports the move, quote, I can't wait to see Barbie. I love Margot Robbie. I love Ryan Gosling. My advice would be for people to go see both on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a huge fan of Cillian Murphy. This put him on another level for me. We need
promoting another movie that's coming out the same day as his.
He's not a producer of that movie. He doesn't have any friends. I mean, he's friends, but he's not making any money. Artists supporting artists. We need more of this. We need to see more of that. And to her credit, Margot Robbie said that she can't wait to see Oppenheimer either. So
yeah. Well, and there's other huge names in the Barbie movie, too. Will Ferrell, America Ferrera, Michael Cera, who is Ray Perlman.
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway's in it, too.
Yeah, I forgot. That's a sneaky. I didn't know that she was in it. And I'm excited for her that she's in it, just because I like her. I don't feel like I don't know. I don't feel like she's gotten her due yet, as far as her.
Oh well, she's far from done, I'm sure.
Yeah. not to be outdone, Oppenheimer just has a couple of big name actors in it, like
just a couple.
Cillian Murphy, Florence Pugh, Robert Downey Jr., Emily Blunt, Jack Quaid, Matt Damon, Rami Malek, Josh Peck. Josh Hartnett is in it. Gary Oldman is in it. Just an insane. I could keep going, everybody. I mean, Kenneth Branagh is in it. just incredible. You've got some of the greatest actors of all time in this movie telling this story that is so integral to not just America's story, but the world's story.
Yeah.
I know it's a long movie, and I know that it's a heavy one for a lot of people, but I got to think that that's one of those movies that a couple of years from now, that's going to be one of those mandatory, like, college movies that people are going to want, it's going to be college credits.
Going to see it in a classroom.
Yeah.
But here's my question for you, because I haven't been to the theater in quite some time, and especially not for one of these, 3-hour marathon movies. Yeah. Do they give an intermission?
I don't know.
Do they pause the movie and allow people to go to the bathroom?
If they have any brains, they will.
Think so.
I know that, speaking of Kenneth Branagh, he did, I think, in my opinion, the greatest version of Hamlet there will ever be. I will say this 40 years from now. There's never going to be a better version of Hamlet. He's the greatest Shakespearean actor of all time and the greatest Shakespearean director of all time. Hamlet's like 3 hours, and there's a literal intermission in the movie. where it just plays for like 20 minutes or whatever and stuff.
Well, yeah, they did that, especially like the musicals.
Yeah.
Because when they transferred them from stage to movie, they kept the intermission in there and just had music playing. It's like, sweet.
Yeah,
I don't have to pause it. I could just go to the bathroom.
I think more people should do this, and I think movie theaters would love this. They've got you in the movie theater longer,
Yep. I mean, and then you're going to visit the restrooms. You're going to visit concessions. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win.
Yeah, that to me seems like they're absolutely going to do this. Yeah. We are going to take a quick break. We are going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Come on, turn it up. You know the song. Get ready to sing along, everybody. Where are my 80s people at? Did are we still making Eileen's?
I hope so.
I hope so too. I like the name. I don't know if I've ever met somebody named Eileen though, or however you pronounce it.
Eileen.
Thank you.
My show choir teacher when I was in high school. Her name was Eileen.
Oh, okay. All right, that'll work. Let's see here. I want to get into this one. And I actually think this is a bit of a That Ain't Right story in some ways. A new poll found half of us get our hair cut at least once every 3 months. So here's a question. Do you like it when your barber or stylist makes chit-chat? Or do you wish they'd zip it up and focus on not lopping your ear off?
Yeah.
30% of us prefer it when our stylist doesn't make small talk. 65% enjoy it, and 5% don't really care. There are some other stats that came from this. I'll get to those in a second. First off, though, I want to get to this part of things. Journalistically, I will mention the first job I really ever had was sweeping up hair in my Aunt Nay's salon. My Aunt Nay cut hair for like 40 years, cut my hair for my first like 10, 13 years of life. And I've got such a love and respect for stylists out there. I personally like this. I think a good stylist, very much like a good bartender, deserves some credits towards a college psychology degree.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Agreed.
They put up with a lot. They are really good at what they do, and they can do two things at once. it is very impressive to me as somebody who does that every day in their job, and you know what that's like, Melissa, doing it yourself. I admire that kind of thing. How are you on this one? How are you out there on this one? 424-2600. Feel free to join the conversation. Melissa, do you like the chit-chat?
Well, you know, I haven't gone to a stylist in probably, one time in the last probably 10 years, because I've been cutting my own hair and styling it myself. But when I did go, I had a regular stylist that I went to. So I enjoyed talking with her because we had built rapport and somewhat of a relationship, you could say. So I think that's where the difference is.
Given that it sounds like you might miss that a little bit, Melissa, do you talk to yourself while you're cutting your hair? Do you know this?
I listen to my audiobooks typically.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So somebody talks to me, but
there you go, it works. Yeah,
one side of conversation.
I think this is a fun one too because there's no wrong answer. I mean, if you just like to go in, get the job done, and get out. I think most stylists can respect and appreciate that just as much as the ones that like to talk.
Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do, too, with how long it takes to do your hair. Because, like mine, when I would get it colored and cut, you know, I have a lot of hair. So it was a double foil every time I'd go in. So I'd be in the salon for like 3 hours. That's a long time.
Yeah, I think that there's... to me, there is a, let's say, a certain charm to a great stylist. I know that Kelly and the gang over at Fantastic Sam's do right by me all the time, and I've been going there for years. And part of the reason I go there is, yeah, they're great at what they do. I get a perfect cut every time, but I really enjoy the conversation. I really enjoy the time there and around those people. It's a good vibe.
Yep, and when you find a good stylist, you stick with them.
You are so right about this. You are so dead right about that. If you needed another reminder of this, I'll just go ahead and CC the pandemic. when all of us were walking around shabby and not looking good and not looking right. Well, all of us but Melissa, who was cutting her own hair. Well played. Well played by you, Melissa. So let's get into some other stats from this. The most common hair color in America is... Anybody, you want to take a guess at this? Or
blonde?
Not a bad guess. I probably would have said the same thing, actually. Brown.
Good.
33% of us have brown hair.
Good, good.
18% said black, 22% said gray or white, 15% said blonde, and 4% said red hair.
All right.
That kind of evens out, I would think, with our national averages of, you know, redheads and, you know, people with black hair and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Around 1 in 20 people had gray or white hair as a toddler.
Oh, well, are just so blonde they looked white?
Yeah, I think that's what they mean. 6% said it was one of those colors when they were just a year old. And I think it's very cool that Anderson Cooper answered this survey. I think that's very cool of him. I'm just kidding. There's certain people, though, that it seems like our whole lives, they have been gray-haired. They have Steve Martin. Steve Martin mm-hmm. has, to me, that man has never aged. I feel like Steve Martin looks the exact same as he did when he was doing, you know, had an arrow going
Father
through his
bride.
Head. So, yeah, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. And by the way, has always looked good, too, by the way.
Yes.
Always been a handsome dumb man.
Oh, yeah.
26% of Americans say that they're a, quote, natural blonde. But there's an asterisk with that one. A third of us think it still counts, even if you were blonde as a kid, if you weren't blonde as a kid. But your hair darkened as you got older. Oh, okay. So you were blonde as a kid, but your hair got darker as you got older. That happened to me, too.
Then it can still... Yeah, okay.
I wasn't blonde, but I had almost a reddish brown... Not reddish, but like a burgundy, like brown hair before it went black as I got older. My eyes also changed. My eyes were always hazel, and then in the fall, they'd turn green. And then at some point in my life, like in high school or whatever, they just stayed green.
Interesting.
Mm. Have you ever dyed your hair? Over half of us have. 81% of women have. 34% of men.
Yes.
I don't mean to call out men, but I guarantee that number's higher.
Probably. And maybe just that they don't want to admit it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think actually the number of women might be higher too.
yeah, possibly. Yeah, yeah.
Because there are some, I don't know, I've always been very open about the fact that I dye my hair. I've dyed my hair since I was 13. I know what my natural color was then.
If Marge Simpson can't get away with it, you know, I mean, why not?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I say embrace it. I don't see any issue with it at all. If a guy...
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I've switched over to natural dyes. Now I dye my hair with henna, which is healthier for your hair than the chemical dyes. But then if you don't want red, you have to add some other natural plant additives to get a different color than red.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Is it easier on your scalp?
Oh, yeah. It's actually really right good for your scalp.
Oh, whoa, even better. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy dyes his hair, should he dye his beard the same color? 44% said yes, 21% said no, or at least don't think too matchy-matchy is a good look. 35% don't have an opinion on such things. That's one of those. By the way, I was brown burgunding this. I was reading it as is because I don't believe in my life I've ever said matchy matchy. I think that's the only time you will ever hear me say that.
I've never thought about it for hair and beard.
What about the eyebrows? That one I kind of think of. I only if it really stands out to me. If it's you know, something that's really two very different colors, I may notice it. But I don't mean it looks bad. I just mean I notice it. And I don't know if that is kosher or not to people. Everybody's different about that kind of stuff. Some people want it to look really natural, you know?
Yeah, if you're going to dye your hair blue, maybe don't dye your eyebrows.
Oh, now you tell me. Thankfully, I am not that silly. I am, but I do have some blue in my hair right now. And not that you can tell.
That's good. That's good. Well, until you're in the sunshine.
Yeah. Then it shows a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting, though, sometimes seeing how men gray, you know, like in their beard. Sometimes it can be very attractive.
Mm. Yeah.
The salt and pepper, or sometimes there's a pattern to it. If it's not that way and you want to dye it to make it more uniform, go for it.
Growing up, my uncle Rich, who I miss every day and I loved, it was always good to me. I respected my Uncle Rich a lot, and he had a lot of good style. He was also one of these guys that was dyeing his hair jet black in his 50s, and it just, to me, it just always seemed like I didn't want to be that. And in the industry I'm in, I have found that being salt and pepper actually plays into my hand better. Than it would opposite. I think that a lot of people would look at it as you always want to look young as an actor. Maybe if you're always trying to play high schoolers.
Well, but also with men, the salt and pepper is dignified and it looks, it's attractive. I think that it's a really good thing that it's becoming more normal for women too.
Yes.
That more women are going natural gray in their 30s and 40s. Because I think that it, for too long, we have held that we must look young always forever.
Yeah, yeah. Which is ridiculous. And I think that it... I mean, God, take a look at Helen Mirren and tell me she is not gorgeous. She is not beautiful. Yeah. And she looks good. She looks better that way than she would with, like, jet black hair or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And we've all gotten... I'm not going to throw names out there because I feel like that's really tacky. But we've all seen plenty of people who have tried to hang on to their youth, whether it's plastic surgery or hair, and it just doesn't work. We make fun of them. Like, when's the last time you somebody had some work done and it wasn't incredibly noticeable?
Mm-hmm. But the other thing too for women, and speaking for myself, it's difficult to as my gray is coming in. You know, like when my hair grows out, and you know, I dye it, like I've said, since I was 13. So I know the amount of gray that I have in there, because when it gets to be about a quarter inch long, I can see it all. It's really hard for me to not just cover it back up again.
Yeah.
To go naturally gray gracefully when you dye your hair, it's hard. So I don't blame women who keep doing it, because I'm one of them.
I hear you. And I don't even pretend to know what that's like. I do empathize with it. I'll say my agent Aaron and I, we go back and forth on this one a lot. And I'm not saying anything that I haven't said to her before, so it's open to both of us. She gets on me from time to time about maybe getting work done to get my nose straightened or the wrinkles out of my forehead or my cheeks. So I have this stuff playing in my head all the time when I'm going into auditions. However, when it comes to my hair, she doesn't care if I dye it or not. And she actually thinks that I should go more gray and even think about stripping any color out of it and just being gray. I don't know what to do. I don't. She's pushing me this way and that way. Be younger, but
fix
not
your
too
wrinkles,
young.
But let your gray go.
Yeah. What, man? I don't know. I just want to act. I just want to act.
Can I just be me?
Just be me. That's all. 15% of us cut our own hair. Another 6% said that they never pay for a haircut, so those people either have a friend or a spouse who does it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And what term do you use for a hair tie? That's the most popular term, but 21% of us call it a hairband instead, and 18% say a ponytail holder.
Yeah, or hair bungee, I've heard.
Oh, yeah, bungee. I like that one. I like that one. Yeah, yeah. Hair tie. That's what I've always thought it was. But, each your own. Now, as long as we're making up, new words and everything, let's maybe come up with a new word for that one.
Sure. Call in. 424-2600. What do you call a hair tie?
Yeah, we'll take those calls when we come back from break. Looking forward to talking with you. Join the conversation anytime at 424-2600 right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. All right, now. Little glory days for you to play us into the final segment of the morning show. Melissa and James here with you. And we got a That Ain't Right story. We got to get to
all
this.
Right.
I got a That Ain't Right story. Got to touch on it. If you're going to propose while wearing Crocs... Just going to leave that there for a second. You're probably maybe not the most romantic person, or maybe this is romantic to you and yours. I don't know. A fine jewelry maker in the UK is selling a new engagement ring charm that sticks in the top of your croc. I had to be very careful saying that one.
Yeah, no kidding. If I almost heard you wrong.
We say good morning to the FCC.
Hello and good morning.
If you're down with the lingo, it's just like the gibbets charms people decorate their Crocs with, but much fancier. I am so sorry if I mispronounced that. I know nothing about Crocs.
I don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm. I know they go on your feet. That's it. End of list. I don't know anything else about Crocs. It comes with a felt box, so the idea is you propose with it like a ring, then stick it in their croc instead of their finger. Or you could get down on one knee, but instead of presenting a ring, just point at your shoe.
Oh, how classy.
The description says it's perfect for a unique, wacky, or outside-the-box proposal idea. But it's not exactly a cheap stunt to pull. It's got a 1-carat green sapphire in the middle, surrounded by 16 tiny diamonds set in silver, and costs a little over $2,000 plus shipping.
Whoa! I would not pay $2,000 for something and then stick it in my crock.
Yeah, yeah.
No. No.
Jewelry brand called Jessica Finn is behind it. You can check it out at their website. Each one is made to order and takes up to 8 weeks to ship. So, my that ain't right part of this story is making me say stick it in your crock over and over again. That ain't right, people. I got a job that I'm trying to keep here at everything. I don't feel like getting taken out by something like this. All right, I want to leave radio on my head high, not because I messed up saying something like this. I think the price is a little wacky too.
A little bit, but you know what? I just Googled this, and it looks like it's more not the expensive one, but I think this started with people doing this for like homecoming and prom. This is teenagers are doing this.
Yeah.
Will you crock Hoka with me? It would crock my socks off if you leapt to prom with me.
Jeez.
Leapt. Okay. Crocs don't leap, but nice reach, dude.
Nice reach. That's an expensive prom gift. Yikes. I have to say, and it's one of my favorite phrases, and I think it's a perfect phrase for radio. It's why I use it a lot. You got to know your audience. Like, you definitely want to know if the person you're going to propose to is into Crocs, likes Crocs. Better better love Crocs. They better be big Crocs person.
Mm-hmm. And also the charms. You know, a lot of people that have Crocs don't put the charms on them.
I didn't know that. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't know about that story. I don't know about that one. I do know.
But if you have done that, please let us know.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. 424-2600. And as we've mentioned before, our phone lines are always open. Join the conversation anytime you like. 424-2600. We know sometimes you're listening and you're driving around, or maybe you're at work and you can't take a break or something. When you can, jump in. And even if we're two or three conversations deep or past conversation, it don't matter. It's your show too. Go ahead and join the conversation. We want to hear from you.
Always.
I want to touch on some local good stories of the day, and of course, our Wisconsin Rapid City Band have performances every Tuesday. Join them.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, join them over at my old stomping grounds in Robinson Park. Got a great show going on tonight. Be sure to go take that in. 7:30 start time. This is a self-organized organization that come together every summer to entertain us with fun music and ice cream. Bring the whole family to Robinson Park in Wisconsin Rapids. There is a play area for children. It's a great place, I think, for families, especially because of that. Mom and dad, maybe, or whoever can check out the band, and kids are playing on the swing sets, and you can see them right from the stage. It's a really nice setup. Oh, yeah,
and there's great acoustics there, so you're going to hear them just fine wherever you are.
I also wanted to mention that our friends over at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce have their off the clock at Shopmaster tomorrow at 4 o'clock from 4 to 9. It's at 850 Rosecrans Street. It's an event that's free, open to the public, got to be 18 to attend, going to have live music by the Jimmies. We have to get them on Director's Cut. Horse wagon rides, food, beer, raffles, all of this going to be going on. You can contact Promises over at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce for more information. Again, this is all taking place over as part of their off-the-clock event over at Shopmaster. Go check that out. It's going to be a fun one. And I want you to mark your calendars for a really special, fun event coming up. It is the third annual Touch a Truck event with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center.
All right.
This is going from 11 to 3, July 29th, over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. There are going to be vehicles on display, food, kids' games, and so much more. Guided by the voices of those affected by domestic and sexual abuse, the Family Center provides confidential, culturally competent, comprehensive services with an emphasis on self-determination and prevents the abuse by addressing its root causes through education and community involvement like events like this. You come to this event, You bring the kids, you have a great time. You're also bringing awareness to a subject that for too long was in the shadows. Mm-hmm. For way too long, we are talking in hushed voices about this. Those days
are not talking about it.
Wonderful, excellent point, Melissa. Those days are over. We're not doing that anymore. We're not going back. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle. Going forward, people that struggle with this, people that suffer from this, are going to have allies that they didn't even know they had. Yes. And part of that is celebrated in an event like this. You get on down there, you're going to see some vehicles you don't always see. The kids are going to be so influenced by this.
They're going to have fun.
And it's free admission. It's a wonderful event. I think it's one of my favorite events of the. It is one of my favorite events of the summer. Come for some sweet summer fun. Save the date. The third annual Touch a Truck event, 11 to 3, July 29th. We will meet you over at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. Big shout out to them. Yeah, you don't want to miss that one. It's going to be a really fun event. Remind everybody that on our radio dial tonight, we got some good stuff going on. Midday Magazine coming up from 3 to 4. Be sure to join us for that and spread the word about the show. We have a best of in our part one because we had to do a scheduling. Somebody had to cancel, so we are filling that with Kayla from the UW Madison Extension. It was a great interview with Kayla. I encourage you to check that out. And in part two, let's talk real estate with Coa Banker, Seert Realtors, and Lindsay Scheider.
Oh, Lindsay's going to be in today.
Yeah, this is Lindsay and I's first time to just get to hang out, her and I, with the show. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a good one.
All right.
And be sure to join us right here at WFHR for more Rafter Baseball. 5:50, our pregame starts. Hoping to keep this win streak going.
Play the Mallards.
In Madison. Let's get some bragging rights over our civic media friends in Madison, huh? Let's do that.
Beat them again.
Yeah, do it. And be sure to meet us at the ballpark tomorrow night for Bark in the Park night and Central Wisconsin Gift of Life night. Going to be so much fun with your furry friends at Winterfield tomorrow night. Get your tickets at northwoodsleague.com. Melissa, great hanging out with you. You have a great day.
Yeah, you too, James.
Join us tomorrow on the morning show. Katrina Hittner from Family Natural Foods is going to be hanging out with us. Looking forward to that. Whoop. We'll talk more coming up right here on WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.